Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And wow, the market's cracked through 30,000. Thank you, Joe Biden.
Oh, wait. Wait a second. I thought the market was supposed to crash.
Yeah.
Weren't we told?
Through the 30,000 barrier.
Oh, is that what that was about? It wasn't supposed to crash down. It was going to do a reverse crash.
Oh, just wait. It'll crash down. Don't worry about it.
Your 401k is going to be a 201k.
Yeah. Get out of those things.
Yep. I find it pretty interesting. By the way, just a date stamp. This is the 24th of November. And as John would say, wow, time is passing.
That's what I say every time.
I'm
consistent.
Yeah, you are. But, you know, I find it rather interesting, the incredible upswell that we've had. I mean, yeah, we have the vaccine issue, but everybody kind of knew that was happening. But it's really been vicious over the last few days, especially the side with the banks and energy, and we're seeing that oil is popping up, and even in the futures market, it's up again tonight.
Oil?
Everything.
Oil's up?
Oil's up. Well, it's like 45.
Yeah, it's 45.36. I'm looking at it right here.
Yeah.
And the U.S. dollar hasn't really skyrocketed like they said, or collapsed.
It's been going
still
down.
$1.18. It's $1.18 in the euro.
Against the euro, it's been moving up a little, down a little bit. Against the currency of China, the yuan, it's been going, the yuan's been kind of moving pretty substantially. But, you know, about 8%, the dollar is lower. let me think about that. The yuan is 8% lower, I guess.
Yeah, that's to screw us.
Yep. Just to get back at us. But, you know, the good news is, speaking about consistency, we have the Monday vaccine day that once again proved out. AstraZeneca came out with their numbers this week. Lower efficacy, about 70%, but maybe it's 90%, but 70% for this and a lower dosage, but it's kind of like 90%, but it's maybe better. And now
it's
having
better because you don't have to freeze it.
Right. And then there's the, remember the first thing, it went from 90% to 94% to 94.5% to 95% to 92% for Sputnik. And then these guys come out. But now the new war of who is better is how cold does it have to be? Well, this guy's at negative 70. This guy's only at negative 4.
Yeah, this is the big deal.
Yeah, the big deal is how do we do it?
How do you move it from point A to point B?
Yeah. So AstraZeneca. And it seems that this a significant amount of orders around the world for the AstraZeneca drug. And they're even talking about possibly giving the drug as early as December 11th to certain people that are high risk and maybe frontline workers. But they haven't even gotten the approval, as far as I know, from the Pfizer, BioNTech, or the Moderna, or the AstraZeneca for the emergency use authorization.
Well, they'll get it by then.
They'll just get it in quickly. It is a short week. It's Thanksgiving. We have Thursday will be a closed market. Tomorrow will be lighter trading probably. Oftentimes we do see the Thanksgiving week is usually an upward move for markets, kind of like the holiday cheer. And Friday the markets will be closed. I think futures are open, or something's open till midday, like 1 o'clock, and then it's closed. But futures will probably run for a little while. Yelp review of the year 2020, one star.
One star
at best. Although, you know, it's turning out for some people, the wealthy, the people that are in the markets, the people that have money, to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a substantial year. And a lot of people didn't even have to go to work.
Yeah, you just stay home and make money.
Yeah, you stay in your pajamas, make all sorts of money, and kind of fix up your house. But for a lot of other people, unfortunately, it's really bad. And that's where the problem really lies in, is the sit-ins that we had years ago. The Wall Street, what was it called? The what did they call those sit-ins in Wall Street?
Occupy.
Occupy Wall Street. That was all about the separation and the continual divergence of wealth, right? The wealth gap around the country, around the world, it's only gotten worse.
Yeah, and they stopped doing the Occupy.
They stopped doing it. Why is that? Is this the thing of the thing?
They didn't like to get their heads cracked open by a bunch of guys with billy clubs.
Oh, is that what it was?
I think so.
Yeah, what, you know, what, they got to be a little stronger than that. A little, you know.
No. They bail.
They bail. First sign of trouble, they bail.
Yeah.
Well, it's the whole thing is pretty, it is disturbing that there is, I was talking to some people today. They're like, you know, what's the big deal? Nothing, you know, maybe we should shut down for a while. I'm like, well, how long do you want to shut down the country for? They're like, well, you know, if we do the 6 weeks, we just get over this thing. I said, you know, the problem is that if you
said that before, by the way.
Yes. And, but we didn't have a full national lockdown, but we had a majority. And the thing is, I said, you know, but the problem is you have a job. What about all those people that are going to lose their jobs? What about all the people that are going to go hungry and have problems and all the pain from that? I mean, how does that end?
Oh, don't forget, Italy had a full lockdown, yeah, full. And they're back to having problems. Yep. I mean.
Yep. School closings and more restrictions again in the United States we're seeing all around town. And de Blasio was on TV talking about, hey, just want to let you know, just wait a little while because it looks like we're probably going to have a lot more restrictions coming up. Wait about 2 weeks. That's what he said. Wait about 2 weeks. And then we're going to probably start closing down.
Can he predict the future? Is a mind reader? What's going on with that guy?
I guess it's, and they keep going back to he.
Did he get a memo that told him he's got to have to do something in 2 weeks?
Yeah, Cuomo. Cuomo's like, listen, got to get some more airtime because that Emmy that I got, I want to get a daytime award for the Emmy. I want to get a Golden Globe too. So we got to get that back up and running. Those daily. Did you see that? That he's up for an Emmy?
I have no. I don't have a clue. I don't know what you're talking about.
So, Governor Cuomo. I'm not even kidding about this. Governor Cuomo is up for an Emmy award.
You sure this wasn't in The Onion?
No.
Babylon Bee.
No. I'm telling you, Emmy award. Governor Cuomo. He's up for an Emmy Award. Governor.
For what?
He accepted an Emmy Award.
For a press conference? If anyone should get one, it should be that the Kayleigh McEnany.
Yeah. Andrew Cuomo to receive an international Emmy for masterful COVID-19 briefings.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with these Hollywood people?
The International Academy of Arts and Sciences announced Friday that is breaking with tradition and awarding its International Emmy Founders Award to a real politician who is currently in office. He was honored for his daily coronavirus briefings earlier this year.
An award for killing all those people in the convalescent hospitals.
The governor's
10,000 dead. Hey, award time.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It's pretty unbelievable.
Got a Founders Award. Yep. For his daily.
He'll keep the Emmy behind him when he gives press conferences.
Probably.
Term, yeah. Probably. Shelf.
Yep. Anyway, what else we got here? Okay, so strong month. Here's a quick market update. Strong month so far as a Monday. The NASDAQ, the Qs are up about 7.5%, 8%. The S&P is up like 8.5%, 9%. Small caps like 18% month to date. This is the month. XLE, which is the energy shares, which are pretty much left for dead, we're up 28% plus 5 today, so like 33%. Bitcoin up 32%. That's a good.
Well, Bitcoin's a hedge, and so a hedge going up with all the rest of the stuff is pretty dubious.
Yeah, well, we call it unbridled optimism. That's what it is
for everything.
Yes, it's crazy.
Maybe enthusiasm. I'll put some money in gold while we're sitting around.
Yeah. Now here's what's happening. So this week, since the markets are closed on Thursday, since we have a shortened day on Friday, but yet no economic news on Friday, they're piling it all in tomorrow. So check out this list we have tomorrow. This is the biggest list I've ever seen. We have GDP, the second quarter, the second look at it, durable goods, initial claims, new home sales, personal income and spending, PCE prices, crude inventories, and the FOMC minutes at 2 p.m.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. It's going to be a very busy morning. And markets are all a flutter, getting ahead of it. And even the numbers today weren't so good. We had some retail numbers and some confidence numbers that were like, not so good. And some of the numbers, what they call the real time, the advanced reads, what you see kind of in real time, when you look at a variety of shipping components and how things are being transported and confidence levels, have all been trailing down pretty significantly. So I don't know what the market is so excited about, except for some of the news that we saw this week about the vaccine, which may or may not be accepted from people unless you pay them. And, you know, the potential for this, first quarter, second quarter getting out there if they could do it. But yet, Dow 30,000, NASDAQ 100, 12,000. There's got to be hats on CNBC somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know the word.
High fives.
Yep. And there's some talk about this being what it looks like a blow-off top, where you get this kind of rise and this rise and kind of almost a parabolic rise for a stock or for a market. And then it just that one day it just goes crazy. I'm not seeing it. It doesn't look like that way to me at all. That doesn't mean it couldn't get – it isn't frothy by, I mean, all standards. But it doesn't seem like a blow-off top. We really need that crazy push and then a reversal. That's when we start worrying.
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll spot that and we'll talk about it on the show. Yep. But it doesn't look like anything is going on except just kind of continued advance.
Yep. Let's see here. COVID update. All right. We have to talk about something, okay? I was listening to the No Agenda show, which you can listen to on Thursdays and Sundays at 12 p.m. live or find that on your favorite podcast directory. And I was listening this week. And there was a discussion about this whole idea of people that get COVID. I think you were talking about somebody in your family, how they are embarrassed and shamed or something like that.
Yes, this was spotted a few shows back, and now we're looking into it. Yes, if you're a liberal, usually it's a liberal Democrat type.
Right.
They get very ashamed. And we had a couple of clips of a guy that would, going through this, one of these YouTubers. They get ashamed and they don't even want to admit it to anybody. And then they feel that, you know, this is like they did something wrong and they feel ashamed that they did something wrong. Now they've got the COVID.
Right.
Even though these cases, half these cases are just, they're not real cases. They're just tested positive for the virus. And maybe you had, you know, with no symptoms whatsoever, mm-hmm. none. And then maybe you have a symptom and maybe you don't. Maybe you're just completely asymptomatic for the whole time. That means you never had COVID.
Yeah.
But it's beside the point. If you tested positive, there's a shame that goes out for the normally a liberal Democrat type person.
So what you talked about in addition to that was that that there was someone that you know, that both of you know, that wouldn't admit to having COVID, and you inferred further that possibly they're
probably implied.
You maybe did imply that they were closet liberal, possibly. Well, yeah. Just for everybody to know, they were talking about me. Okay.
Who?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, we weren't.
Yes, you were. So I did have COVID. Let's just get that out. Okay.
Oh,
I had
really?
It back in. Yes, I did. I had that
when
back.
When was this?
This was back in June. Yeah.
And were you ashamed to tell people?
So it wasn't that I was ashamed. It was that I didn't know what the deal was. I didn't know what my symptomology was. I didn't know how it was going to progress and all that. And I didn't really want to talk about it because I didn't know where the whole thing was going. And then by the time I didn't talk about it, I just didn't talk about it. I will tell you this. Let me tell you a couple of things. When I did get it, I was feeling very odd about, hey, how did I get it? And what mistakes did I make? I felt that there was something I did or messed up with. You know what I mean? I wasn't being careful. So I had that going on. Then I had the concern during the time that I was that I contracted it that I'm like, oh, my God, who else could I have possibly infected? And I was like feeling guilty about if I did infect somebody else. That was an issue. I don't know if that make me a liberal Democrat. I don't know how that it does.
Yeah, you're liberal. You are a liberal Democrat.
I am not a liberal Democrat.
It took me forever to figure this out.
I don't think so. I do not think so. But anyway, I had it. I had my symptoms.
Ask your sister what she thinks.
Yeah, well, she thinks I'm a communist. I mean, a socialist or whatever. But no, it was kind of a weird situation. It really was. It was kind of like at first, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to kind of keep to myself about it. I don't want to deal with it. And everybody asking questions. And then a lot of people, how you doing? So I just kind of stayed away from everybody.
So what was your total symptoms and how long did it take you to get over it? What was were you knocked on your ass?
No. So here's how it played out.
Just had a cough and a
not
sneeze.
Even that. I had a cough in February that was.
Did you have the COVID cough with that?
No. No,
I didn't. My son had the COVID cough.
I had a cough.
Terrible. It's creepy.
If you remember, I had a bad cough. You may not remember this, but back in February, approximately February.
Yeah, yeah, I remember this. You had a bad cough.
And I had to buy a cough switch for my system here.
Right, I remember that too.
And it was just horrible. It was horrible. I cracked a rib. It was terrible, but I didn't seem to have it back then. And then time went on. So in about Father's Day, I start getting kind of like my nose, the bridge of my nose is burning. It's just burning. And I'm like, what's up? What's up with that? You know? So I kind of didn't feel well one day. I was very tired one day, but then I'm like, okay, whatever. So I called up some doctor friends. I'm like, listen, I have this burning sensation in my nose and my fever is like a 99. They're like, oh, that's nothing. Don't worry about it. You probably have some allergy. I mean, like three different doctor friends of mine. They're like, no, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. Just take some nose spray or something. And so for like 4 days or 5 days, I had feeling like I snorted pepper. Okay. Uh-huh. And I had this fever, 99, 99.2, maybe one day it got to 99.5 and then it went away, but it took me 3 weeks to get a negative PCR.
Oh, so you were testing the whole time.
Yeah, I was testing the whole time.
And you're getting positive, positive, positive.
Yep. Positive, positive. I was like, they knew me at the testing center. It was free. I'm like, hey, I'll take a test.
Oh, you're getting free tests.
Yep. Yep. So I'm getting the test. It took like 3 or 4 days to get the answers back, which I thought was ludicrous. So finally I get a negative test. And meanwhile, during this, I'm kind of going every 2 days just because I'm an OCD lunatic. So I go and I get a negative test. I'm like, oh, thank God I'm done. And then the next test comes back positive. And then again, I'm in this 2-day cycle and the next test finally comes back negative. So I got a negative. I got like 4 or 5 positives, then a negative, then a positive, then a negative. Crazy.
Well, definitely off, odd.
Yeah.
Did your wife get it too?
Yeah. I think she.
What were her symptoms?
She had just a stuffy nose, like a cold for a few days. Like, yeah, not even a flu, but yet a seasonal cold with a little bit of, not even a fever, but she was worn down a couple of days. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like them.
So, I mean, I have an arsenal of medicine.
My daughter-in-law had it. And all she lost, she didn't have any real symptoms except she lost her sense of taste and sense of smell.
Oh, yeah. My wife had that too.
Yeah. And that lasted for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And my wife had it. Everyone's had it except me. I don't get sick.
Yeah, no. Sure.
Everyone's had it. My wife had it. And she was just the same thing that sounds like your wife, just kind of like a little annoying. But she lost her sense of taste and her sense of smell, and it really bugged her. it didn't come back right. It took like a week or another couple of weeks or something. It was just like – it started coming back about a week. But she was very concerned about it.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, I think the whole thing is overblown. I do believe there are people – I can tell you another story. I'll tell you one other story. I get a call. My wife's – my wife's father and the mother, she's positive. She's like 92, okay? She's positive. She doesn't even know she's positive, but she's positive, okay? Yeah. My father-in-law is negative, test negative. They're in the same house. They're in the same thing. They're, at that age, everybody's hocking all over each other, all the time, sneezing. That's the regular daily thing, right?
Yeah.
He never gets it. She tests positive for a week and a half, 2 weeks. Not a symptom to be found at 90-something years old in a nursing home.
So, well, luckily she wasn't in a New York nursing home.
Yeah, that's true. That's where they kill people.
Yeah, I think they're just killing them left and right. Well, you know, it sounds to me that I get the sense that a lot of this is just like a really bad cold. But it did accomplish the whole thing, and it locked down the whole thing. Everything accomplished one thing, and it did one thing well.
Yeah.
Got Trump voted out.
And the Build Back Better coming in from the Bilderbergs and the
Build Back Better.
Build Back Better.
Globalism.
Yeah. That's what we want, right? The globalism?
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Pushed around by China.
So anyway, just to put a cap on that, there was all that. And there you go. It's out there. It is not a liberal thing necessarily for this guy, but just something that I just didn't want to share so much at the time. And then I forgot about it. So.
Well, I'm glad you listen to the show once in a while.
Yeah, no, I listen every morning as I'm doing a little bit of a jog run thing, Jiggy. More of a walk run. But anyway. On COVID also, the Swedish government is now limiting the size of public gatherings and required bars and restaurants to close by 10:30 p.m. What the hell? What is that about? Why are they doing that?
Because the guy who is the main promoter of the whole way they did business in Sweden during the first go around. I think he's been pushed kicked to the curb, and they got the regular jokers in there now, just freaked out about everything. I think they're making a huge mistake. Let them do what they want. It's not none of my business.
It gets worse. South Australia, one of the world's toughest lockdowns, was initiated Thursday when outdoor exercise and dog walking is banned as the state tries to contain a cluster of COVID-19 infections. For 6 days, only one person from a household will be allowed to leave home each day, and only for essential reasons.
There's some other places doing this too. It's quite funny.
Weddings, funerals are banned. Mask wearing, mandatory. So now in terms of the vaccine, we've got an update. Moderna, because we were talking about this, like what's it going to cost? Like what's this whole thing going to be, you know? So Moderna will charge governments between $25 and $37 per dose. I don't know why there's a range there, by the way.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Is it 25? Is it 37? And who gets the 25?
Depends on what you can afford.
I suppose. They're going to be charged between 25 and 37 per dose, which means double dose. So let's just call it in the middle, $32, $64 total, depending on the amount ordered. I guess it depends on the amount ordered. So this chief executive, again, in the spotlight again, Stephen Bankel, or Bansel, he told the German weekly Sontag, our vaccine therapy costs about the same as a flu shot. Yeah, see, I always to put that in there. Kind of like make it seem like it's acceptable, like a flu shot, which is between $10 and $50.
Yeah, 10 bucks mostly.
But I think the whole point of him trying to now utilize this verbiage that it's like, you know, same as a flu shot, I think they're going to start trying to push that so that people don't freak out about it. Because everybody knows, you know, you take a flu shot, it's easy enough, right? A vaccine is something different entirely.
Yeah, flu shot, even though it's a kind of a vaccine.
Yep. Well, it's Thanksgiving. What are we thankful for? Anything? Anything?
Yeah, you won't have to have these giant dinners with your in-laws.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
You know, I was talking to somebody in the food service industry or the food service. I don't know if it's service. Food distribution industry. And they told me a fascinating thing I thought today. And here's what it is. He said sales for turkeys and other condiments and things of that nature are off the charts. And I said, well, why is that? He said, well, a lot of people are from, you know, staying at home and stuff like that. I said, yeah, but why is that? He said, well, here's the deal. Let's say that you have the usual family gathering and you have cranberry sauce. You have 20 people at your house, right? You get a couple of cans of cranberry sauce. It goes a long way. Everybody just takes a little scoop and has it, and nobody really likes it. But because everybody is having their separate dinners, you can't get less than one can. So it used to be 20 people.
This is obvious when you look at the logic.
Yeah, when you have 20 people at one house, you get two cans. But if you have four people at five households, you got five cans.
Yeah.
And you got five turkeys.
Yeah, that's why I was noticing this, because they were talking about this on various talk radio shows, and they kept, you know, I got my turkey, they ran out here, I found them someplace else, and they always ask for the smallest turkey. What's right. your smallest turkey? And all the small turkeys are gone.
Yep. I had to pick up a 21-pounder. I don't need 21-pound turkey.
You're going to have a lot of turkey meat for a long time.
I got 21-pounder.
How do you like those turkey sandwiches?
Yeah. Well, it should be good.
Funny thing is, I always like to get the small turkey, but we're just getting stuff from restaurants this year. But the idea of having turkey sandwiches is always something you look forward to. But then if you really look back on it, how many turkey sandwiches do you really end up eating? 2, 3,
mm-hmm.
maybe 4 if you're really gluttonous. It's just, you don't just do, you know, you have a couple turkey sandwiches, you know, and that's that. You might as well just buy Oscar Mayer.
Oh, I don't know about that. But turkey sandwich, a little bit of coleslaw on top, and a little bit of Thousand Island dressing on soft bread. Delicious. Market. I have some questions. I have some questions for you. I wrote down. You are the person, I think, to ask this, because this is a thought question. Who takes the credit for the market's move since the election? Is it Biden or Trump?
Well, if you're a Democrat, it would be Biden. if you're a Republican, it would be Trump. It's just that simple.
Well, we look back. What day starts the meter running for, hey, this is how my presidency did?
It really starts on January 20th, because that's what they did with Trump. Because if you remember back when Trump got inaugurated, that's when everyone, including the hotshots over at the New York Times and elsewhere, were making all these predictions that on January 20th, the market's going to collapse and it's all over.
Yeah, it didn't work out well either.
And it wasn't until after he was actually sworn in that the market started climbing.
All these market crash predictions by everybody are terrible. We need somebody predicting something like, you know, hey, if this person gets elected, the market's going to go up like crazy. I wonder if Trump was elected, if the markets would have gone up as much as they have recently.
I think it would have been lingering back where it was.
Yeah.
Trump would have had to boost it. But I think on January 20th, I don't know what's going to happen. This may be a swan song.
Ooh, kind of a last ditch effort to get it all done.
Let's do it. Let's have some fun. Let's party before, you know, it's 1999 kind of thing.
Yep. Speaking of partying, it's electric. I got to tell you, quite the week. Feels like electricity was just invented. Have you seen any of the stuff that's going on with regard to these electric car companies, the EVs, the related companies?
It's out of control.
I mean, unbelievable this week. We've seen...
out of control.
So November 2020, Tesla. We know that we added to the S&P 500, of course. Up 35%, plus a few points today, so 40%.
It's unbelievable.
Blink charging up 333%.
I don't even know what Blink is, and it's up 333%.
We had that most of that run for our clients, actually. They are charging stations. You know, like, they still have to, SBE is the same. They have a better footprint, but man, it was unbelievable this run until today. It was down like 20% today, but we picked it up and it just started flying. You know, it's up 40% one day. It's up 30% the next day. I'm peeling back, bringing some profits in. We like tripled our, or maybe 250% on our money, and only have a small piece left just to let it ride. But Plug Power up 91%. Nikola up 60%, plus another 20% today. Workhorse up 87%.
That's, I don't even know who Workhorse is.
Workhorse makes delivery, like those delivery vans, like, you know, those Amazon. You know, Amazon has those weird looking trucky things.
Yeah, there's one that just went by.
Yeah, that's kind of, Workhorse makes electric versions of those. But look at this chart. We picked this up at just under $10. This is as of the end of yesterday, but $10. It ran from the 16th.
The three bagger.
Since the 15th.
Yeah, that's ludicrous. Yeah.
You think it's overdone? That's why we pulled it all back. I'm like, I'm not holding on to all this. It's not happening. I know. So now with all of this,
I think I'm going to put it on the short list for today's show.
Ah, there you go. Any of these are probably good.
This one's definitely.
Tesla. Elon Musk, now the number 2 richest person in the world. Number two, unseats last week. Zuckerberg, it unseats Gates this week.
Who's number one?
Bezos.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
I heard a great...
I don't think he's going to be able to take out Bezos.
That would be tough. Not to mention the fact that is Bezos his half the amount of money he has, or do we still count the full amount after his divorce?
I think that's all built into the total.
I think he only has half.
I'm not sure. But anyway, go on.
So, anyway, I'm inclined to start buying Microsoft shares just to bring the value up so Elon doesn't keep on creeping. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Gates is dumping most of his stock.
Yeah, he's buying all the vaccine companies. He's got a diversity.
Yeah, he's got all the kinds of other things to invest in.
Isn't he giving most of his money away? Isn't he part of that whole plan?
Yeah, take a look at the total money that they have when they started and how much they have now. They got more money now than when they started giving their money away. How does that work?
Charity pays. That's what it's all about. Yeah. People should be charitable.
Play your cards right, it does.
You know, usually when you give money to a good cause, what happens is it just creates something. As a matter of fact, now that you mentioned it.
You know, that's exactly what happens.
Yep. And that is exactly what can happen to you, too, by providing a donation to DH Unplugged. You go over to dhunplugged.com, or if you're in the chat room at the bottom, just scroll all the way down. There's a little donate button right there, and you can donate to the show. And the potential, just the energy, the good tidings that you'll receive from that could be, you don't know. It could be unbelievable. It could change your life. So please do us a favor. Do yourself a favor and give until things change for you.
Yeah, after the 20th.
Yep. Holiday retail strong. The NRF, which is the National Retail Federation. And this is every year. I love watching what they talk about because the same. It's like they cut and paste every single year. The same thing. And every single year, they're way off. So they expect holiday sales to grow between 3.6% and 5.2%. And they said, with retail sales rebounding strongly due to continued consumer resilience, the National Retail Federation today forecast that holiday sales during November and December will increase between 3 and 5% over 2019 to a total of about $750 to $760 billion, which excludes automotive dealers, gasoline stations, and restaurants. And that's going to compare with just a 4% increase in from last year, I guess.
Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
So last year they only had a 4% increase, but last year there was no COVID or lockdowns. Correct. Or people losing their jobs and taking all that money out of the economy.
Right.
Okay, makes nothing but sense.
Yep. And the fact that many of the excess amounts of funds that were provided, whether it was due to direct stimulus actions and checks or unemployment compensation, some of it is not coming and some of it is going to expire by the end of the year. Now, maybe people are like, hey, you know what? We're going to get another stimulus plan. We're going to get more money. They're going to send out checks and all that. But do you think maybe people that don't have a job and looking straight down the barrel of the end of the year are like, hey, let's spend everything now. What the hell?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I just don't think so.
I don't think so. So we'll have to see about that. But this is pretty much what they talk about every single year. And
you know what? They're going to shut down Christmas. Do you watch the same way they did on Thanksgiving?
Oh, how are they going to shut it down? Just tell people,
no, don't go. No, don't go. You're going to kill your granddad.
Right.
There's going to be empty chairs next year.
Oh, back the empty chairs discussion. The
empty chairs. There are going to be empty chairs. You're going to see your granddad. And then next year, you're going to expect to see an empty chair. Is that what you want?
That image is kind of interesting because I don't know about you, but if I had an empty chair for every dead person in my family, I wouldn't have any room at my table.
Well, I always say that Jews always have an empty chair at the table.
We have
at least one.
Yes, for Elijah.
Elijah, that guy.
Yeah.
He never shows up.
You open the door. You know, during that prayer, during Passover, we say, you know, we have a glass of wine, we have food for Elijah. Elijah, the representation of anyone who is in need, please come in our house and eat. And one year I said, listen, you're going to open this door, and what if actually somebody comes in? What are you going to do? What are you gonna do? I'm not saying it's gonna be some kind of
guy. You're gonna call the cops.
Yeah, you're gonna call the cops.
You're gonna call the cops on Elijah.
Right. Some guy comes in and is like, you know what? I'm hungry, by the way. I saw the Jew thing on your door here, and I know it's about the right time. The door was open, and you said, I say, come on in. I'm sitting down, I'm eating. It won't go over so well. You know?
It sounds like a lot of bluster.
A lot of bluster. It's let them eat cake kind of thing. President Trump issued a veto threat to the annual defense funding bill because it contains a provision to rename the Confederate military bases. So that coincided to a quick roll down of the markets on Monday, by the way, which I don't know if there was a coincidence about that somehow or not, or if it just was nothing, just a little blip.
It should have been just a blip.
Let's see. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson said he's going to ease lockdown restrictions. South Korea's tightening restrictions. Japan may impose more restrictions. And so it's a mess. I don't care. Whatever. Now, this is great. Oh, I like this. So in France, there's a lockdown going on, right?
Yeah. And you know, when to go to Paris for the weekend, you can't even get into the country.
Nope. And if you leave your house into certain areas in France, you have to have like an affidavit of some sort.
Yeah, you need papers. It's like Nazi Germany. This is like during the era in the 30s when the French had their own, you know, I can't remember the name of the Pétain was running it. It was the part that, wish I could remember all these World War II references. But yeah, it's like World War II.
So this guy who got in trouble seems like he reported he correctly filled out the legal required declaration, known as the attestation, with his name and his address and time he left his home in Lannion, Brittany. However, officers found that instead of ticking one of the boxes that stated a legitimate reason for going outside during France's national lockdown, which include things like shopping and visiting a doctor and traveling to work or exercising for up to 1 hour maximum at a minimum distance of 1 kilometer. Minimum distance of 1 kilometer. Maximum distance, 1 kilometer. Maximum distance, 1 kilometer from your house. The man wrote on the paper, I don't even know how to say this in French, but aller Pierre la guerre à un mec, which is an activity not covered by the form, which translates, I'm leaving to go smash a guy's face in.
Well,
he was pissed.
You know, the guy should probably have been media exempt.
Yeah, well, probably. Now, I looked up this actual translation in Google Translate, and they're saying it says smash a guy's face in. When you put this particular words into Google Translate, it comes out, go fart a guy.
Huh, I'd have to look at that. Well, Google Translate is the worst of those things.
Yeah. But my point on this is a couple things. First of all, obviously crazy lockdown, ridiculous amount of paperwork that has to be done and all that, but that this actually makes the news about one guy leaving his house to do something like this is bizarre.
Yeah, it shouldn't be in the news at all.
Yeah. Crypto, the craze is back. USD concerns, maybe speculative activity. We have some FOMO, maybe from acceptance due to PayPal and government mentions. Bitcoin is near the all-time high. ARK Investments, Kathy Wood, now predicts it will hit 500,000.
Yeah, good.
500,000. And we're seeing Litecoin move up and Ethereum move up and just kind of go down the list of whatever it is. And they're all moving up. Move up
at the same time.
Let's see where they are right now. Bitcoin, $19,045, $52. Moving fast, $50. Ethereum, $598, just under the $600 mark. Pretty amazing. So I don't know if that's here to stay or just the speculative mania has hit kind of everything here. There is a another, you know, the car companies are real pieces of shit. Let's can we agree to that?
They have their probably generally.
There's a new scandal.
It's always a scandal.
Yep, it's always the same thing too. This whole
CO2 scandal never ends.
So BMW X5, the hybrid, the Volvo XC60, the Mitsubishi Outlander, all the hybrids. This is unbelievable. They emit 28 to 89% more CO2 than advertised when tested by a side firm, you know, a third party, on a fully charged battery in optimal conditions. And on an empty battery, they emit three to eight times more CO2 than advertised. So there's a whole bunch of different notes here. There's a chart here that's on the show notes for episode number 532. But it shows the official numbers, which are purple, and then the real numbers, it seems.
Yeah, it'll never end. They can't get these numbers. This is all bogus.
Yeah. The Treasury, we have a new pick for Treasury. The first name that came up was Brainard, which is currently on the Federal Reserve. And Brainard said, you know what, I think I need to stay on the Federal Reserve. I think that Brainard believes that one day that that eventually they're going to move into that position of treasure of federal
head of the Fed.
Yeah, Federal Reserve chair.
Head of the Fed.
Yeah. So she says that she doesn't want to be a candidate for that because, again, she's going to be possibly expiring. But at the time that I wrote this yesterday, I was thinking, hey, you know what? It seems likely then that Janet Yellen, is going to probably be the pick. And you know what? It turns out that's the case.
Yeah,
everybody's excited about that. It's a known commodity, right?
Yeah, the Yellen, the gnome woman.
How tall is she?
I think there's a million jokes I could go into from that with that setup, but I'm just going to say she's short.
5'3". Not that short. 5'3" is not
well,
that
tall. I don't run in heels, in 5-inch heels, maybe.
She's 74 years old. Can't we get anybody under 70 in this new government?
Apparently not.
I mean, honestly, she graduated Yale when I was 5. I mean, seriously.
I don't know. Like, you guess there's probably plenty of qualified people that would be really good. And why pick her in the first place? Just because she got kicked out by Trump? You just pulling a Trump. I mean, Trump did everything he could to like slam anything Obama did.
Well, clean the swamp. Drain the swamp.
The opposite. And now it's going back to the same thing, only now they're doing Yellen was kicked out by Trump. Let's put her in.
It looks to me like there is just very little ideas other than the people that have been in there already. There's obviously nobody really new. It's just cycling through everybody that's in the system already.
Yeah. Yeah, Yellen's a perfect example.
Perfect example. I mean, I think Yellen was a good, great Federal Reserve chair. I mean,
She did the job. Nobody was bitching about it.
Nobody?
But, you know, come on. She should have been retired when she was in her 60s. But no, she's going to come back and do this job, which just takes a lot of energy, these government, some of these jobs. You got to do more than nothing.
The incredible amount of stories that you need to tell, and the cheerleading that you need to do, and the twisting of facts and the holding back of truths. I mean,
she's not entertaining.
Oh, no, she's not entertaining. No, no. Not at all. Nope. It's going to be a boring 4 years. Let's state that.
It's going to be very boring. A somnambulistic group of people. They're all half asleep, if not half dead.
Half dead, really. That's what it is.
Zombies have taken over.
We got an Apple guy in trouble.
Yeah, what's that all about?
So grand jury has issued two indictments charging the Santa Clara County undersheriff, a previously indicted sheriff's captain, a local business owner, and the head of global security for Apple with bribery. So it says in the case, the concealed carry permits, the licenses, were withheld from Apple employees, and they managed to extract from Apple a promise that they would donate iPads to the sheriff's office in order to get this. They promised a donation of 200 iPads worth close to $70,000, which was canceled right when the indictments came down.
So let me get – I don't get this story, but I'm going to say what I think it is.
Yeah.
Apple, being the liberal bastion that it is, wanted to make sure through the sheriff's department that anyone who wanted or needed perhaps actually needed a concealed carry permit – wouldn't get it, under any circumstance, because they don't want anyone that works for Apple carrying a gun, because guns are bad and, you know, they shouldn't have a gun in the first place. There's all kinds of other ways you can go about things without having a gun. Guns are bad. They might shoot up. They might shoot up Apple, which hasn't happened. It probably never would. And in exchange for making the promise that they would not give anybody that works for Apple a weapons permit, they would decide, here, we'll give you a bunch of free iPads. Is that the story?
I was under the impression that he was trying to get a concealed carry permit and he couldn't get it. And therefore, he made these promises to donate it. But I guess, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think my story makes more sense.
It makes more sense if you once again go to the liberal.
Because, you know, the Sheriff's Department, none of these agencies, especially in California, have to give you a weapons permit.
Well, getting a weapons permit in California is very difficult.
Yeah.
So,
you know, there is a workaround.
Well, yeah, by giving iPads to a Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, I mean, well, if that's the way the story went, but I think it went the other way. But I could be wrong. I'd have to look into it because I don't know the story. But in the case of getting a weapons permit, you can get a weapon. If you're like, for example, my wife has one. She has concealed carry.
If I was married to you, I'd have one too. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so she got a concealed carry permit, but she got it in Washington State, where they hand them out rather easily because it's a kind of a rural, you know, state. And so that you can get a concealed weapons permit. And she's got one. And when you come to California, you can transfer it to here.
It's kind of like a dry town going to the next town over, that there's a package shop or a liquor store right on the edge of the town line.
Yeah.
Just grab your bottle of Old Milwaukee and come back for the afternoon.
This is an issue with the town of Vancouver, Washington.
They're dry?
Vancouver, Washington is across the river, right across the river. There's a bridge to Portland. And Portland has no sales tax, and Washington has no income tax. So if you live in Vancouver, Washington, you don't pay any income tax, and you buy all your stuff in Oregon where there's no sales tax.
Perfect.
And everybody's bent out of shape about this.
Who's bent out of shape?
Oh, everybody on both sides of the river. The Washington people say, well, you know, you should be paying sales tax to Washington State. We're giving you all these breaks. And the Oregonians are thinking they're taking advantage of us over here because they aren't even paying any income tax. Nah. Everybody hates them.
Well, too bad. They're the smart people that figured out the system.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a smart place to live if you just want to save a lot of money.
Yeah, of course. That's why a lot of people moved to, like, outside of New York, to the outskirts, well, when there was lower taxes, like in Jersey, where there's no city tax, well, there's a state tax. Or, you know, some other places around the area, they take a train in.
Yeah.
Save yourself all sorts of money. Well, in the food department, McCormick is nearing a deal to buy hot sauce maker Cholula. You like Cholula?
You know, Cholula's been tested against all the really great Mexican sauces. And a lot of the great sauces out of Louisiana. And there's a bunch of Panolas, like one of them that you've never heard of, but it's really stunningly good. And it's always come up short. It's not a great sauce. It's got a nice package. It's got a wooden cap. And, you know, it looks like it's cool, but it's really a kind of a watered-down, good Mexican sauce. And this is the typical McCormick. I mean, they find something that's, I don't know, well-marketed, a little overpriced, and, yeah, just kind of mediocre, and they buy it, and then the next thing you know, this just marketed even more. No, I don't think this is a good idea at all.
I think they're paying $800 million for it. But what
it's crazy.
If you look at the stock chart of McCormick, it's been doing really well. And one of the reasons that people give is that, you know what? A lot of people are eating home during the pandemic, so they're buying spices. I'm like, yeah. But if they're not eating at the restaurants, they're not using the spices there. And don't they buy the McCormick spices at the restaurants?
Well, yeah. McCormick does have a lot of spices you have to buy, but I don't think people who cook at home spice their food as much as the restaurants do, and so that you'd think that the sales would be down.
It's very weird. Very weird. Now, you wrote an article this week, which you have a typo in it, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's just to see if anybody actually reads that far.
At the bottom. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right? So it's I put the link on the show notes for this episode. Do you want to tell us about it? It's called The Oasis?
Yeah, The Oasis is a – this is Substack. And everybody's – all these writers have been – haven't been writing much because I do a podcast. I do two podcasts that are quite good. It's a good use of my talent and as a conversationalist.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And my writing has been mostly writing newsletters and writing essays for the newsletters. But meanwhile, these guys who have been lost their jobs all over the place, Glenn Greenwald, Mike Taibbi, these types of this level of person, Andrew Sullivan, I think, is over there. They started using this system called Substack. And I looked at it. I said, this is interesting. I think I'm going to do this too, because you just do it. You don't have to get hired. And so I started writing these columns for Substack. I've done about four or five of them. It comes out every Tuesday. I have one out. And then I'm going to monetize it, when I feel like it. That's what I'm doing. And so this last one was about Trump. What's going to happen after Trump gets kicked out or ousted, as I put it, in January. And I figure he's going to stay in the game and it's going to cause nothing but trouble. He's going to be a troublemaker. And I think it'll be very entertaining.
You actually, I think, made the assertion that he's going to be actually more powerful.
Yeah, I think so, because he won't be distracted. He won't have work to do on a daily basis. He won't have to go into the office. And it's not like he's going to starve to death or live in a miserable place after he leaves the White House. He doesn't have to be hounded on a day-to-day basis, and he can just be out there criticizing, and he's pretty good at it. And so I think he'll be less encumbered. It could be quite funny.
Yeah.
It's a good call, and people should read it.
Check it out. It's Dvorak.substack.com. You can go there or just click on the link at the show notes, episode 532 on DH Unplugged. Last story of the thing. This is very important. This ties together all of our questions. And it was, how the hell are they going to store all those vaccines at such a low temperature? And how are they going to transport them correctly? Remember, we don't know. Well, UPS is launching in collaboration with Sterling UltraCold, a joint effort to provide portable ultra-low temperature freezers, ULT freezers for short. So these portable freezers will be distributed and used in smaller point-of-care facilities, requiring a more permanent solution for longer-term freezer storage. So they're working with them on these under-counter models and all this cool stuff. I think that's going to be a big part of the next possible leg up for some of these companies like a UPS.
I think so too. And I think not necessarily just for this. I think they can do food delivery.
Yep.
Frozen meats from the Midwest, Wagyu beef, which is the hot thing right now, can be coming in from these obscure farms at a better price. The farmer direct to consumer, farm to consumer is a big deal right now, but many of these products need to be frozen. And they, right now they just stuff some dry ice in there and you have to ship the thing with the dry ice. It costs too much money.
Right.
And now, boom, just throw it into one of these things and ship it from Missouri to California. I'm ready to accept it.
Perfect. We're announcing, there's a little typo here, closest to the pine for, it should be close to the pin, for the gold ETF. And if you go over to DH Unplugged and click on the top right, it gives you, I think it's four more days left to put in your price guess. I announced it on Twitter last week. And the winner will get a shirt and an entry into the closest to the pin cup at the end of the year. That'll happen in December. Do we have time? We don't have time for the limericks this week, so we're going to pass on that. I know everybody's going to be upset. We got to get to our stocks and we got to go through that. So
this is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
So much green. It's like an oasis of just it's like a farm in full bloom.
We're on a roll.
In a full bloom.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's only one thing on there that is curiously down, which was the spider for gold.
Yep.
That's it. One I read. The rest of not, by the way, the rest of these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 stocks all in the green. Every one of them's double digits in the green.
And some of those are for just the last 10 days.
Yeah, they're all double digits.
Yeah.
So you'd have cleaned up if you'd been paying any attention.
Yep.
Cleaned up.
Amazing.
I mean, the Xerox thing was just kind of languishing. It's now up 25%.
That should tell you about something right there, by the way. Seriously. Xerox is making a big move up 25% in the last month. Yeah, I don't know.
And you have Honeywell's up 17. I just picked that. And you got your Beyond Meat, which I would poo-pooed.
But you know, it's interesting. Your IBM is still in the money. You shorted that.
I shorted it.
You shorted that in June.
Yeah, it's still hanging in there.
Which is pretty impressive and shows you just what a crappy company that is.
It's just got to be a great short eventually.
Yeah.
One of these days.
One of these days, Alice. I have one pick for this week. United Parcel Services, which we just talked about, the cold storage. So we're going to pick that up. It was about 3.72% today. But, you know, the opportunity, if in fact the retail sales are so good, they're probably going to be coming by truck rather than you going to the mall.
I think that's a pretty decent idea.
Yeah. What do you got?
I got one thing, and this is a channel up. This is purely a chart pick. XTLB, and that's also because I like the idea of a biopharm selling for $2.50 a share or so.
Wait, what's the symbol?
With an up channel that is just dynamite.
What's the symbol?
XTLB.
XTLB.
That it's a biopharm.
XLT Biopharmaceuticals.
XTLB.
XTLB. It's upward channel.
Now, I need 20% on this.
You get 20% automatically.
Oh, well, I need 25% then. It's a $2 stock. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
25% on there. 11/25. Now, I just want to bring you back to something. You were talking about Blink charging. Do you want to do that?
Oh, yeah, I was thinking to shorten that, but in this market, I've decided to shorten anything.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
I'll stay to the side. You know, you don't have to chart. You don't have to catch the shorts right at the top.
You know, what's interesting is that the short interest in the markets is extremely it's on a straight downward slope, like all the shorts are kind of like out, which is usually a contrary indicator, by the way.
That would make sense.
So we'll see what happens. All right, listen, you have a wonderful. Are you gonna see your wife for Thanksgiving and your whole family, or just?
No, the kid, nobody will come over. I mean, I got my daughter here, so she'll be here. My wife is stuck in Washington.
Oh.
She's coming down for a couple of weeks in December for Christmas and New Year. And so we're opening up a can of cranberry sauce.
Do you want to zoom in with my family?
Oh, that'd be great. Only what we do is we use the phone. We could actually do a call if you don't mind using the phone, and we can say hi.
Okay. I will try to remember that on Thanksgiving.
Well, send me your numbers that I need that you can take from your cell phone.
What do you mean? What numbers? You know my cell phone number.
I do.
What do you mean? We text back and forth. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, my text number is not really a cell phone. It's a Google Voice that I cheat with to do text.
But
every once in a while, people call it.
Oh, I call you on that phone line. Well, that's my phone number.
Okay.
All right.
I'll double
check. We've only known each other for 13 years. Fortunately for us.
Adios.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.